Our reading is from Psalm 42 and 43, and it can be found on page 567 of the Church Bibles. For the director of music, a Maskil of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of the Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Thanks, Angus, for reading those words for us. Do keep your Bibles open, 5, 6, 7, 5, 6, 8. That'll help you as we spend a bit of time looking at these two psalms together this morning. And as we do that, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've just sung these words. We've sung, be still, my soul, and know this peace. The merits of your great high priest have bought your liberty. Rely then on his precious blood. Don't fear your banishment from God, since Jesus sets you free. Father, we're so thankful that if we are trusting in Christ, there's nothing that should keep us away from you. And yet, we confess that there are times when you feel distant. And so we pray as we look at your word this morning, please would you help us to draw near to you, to know how to draw near to you and to experience and enjoy the blessings of our liberty. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these two psalms, Psalms 42 and 43, they were originally just one psalm together. And as I alluded to in that prayer, there are a psalm for when God feels distant. For those times, I don't know if you know them, when you pray, but it seems your prayers just bounce back down off the ceiling. Or maybe for when you read your Bible, but instead of hearing the word of the living God, all you see are just words written by those who are long dead. For those times when you're singing praises to God with your mouth, and yet the words aren't connecting with your heart. Maybe for those times when you're so overwhelmed by the pain of living in a fallen world that God seems entirely absent. Or when you're so worn down by the teasing and the objections of your unbelieving friends that your mind starts to wonder at whether they're right and whether they're onto something. I'm guessing for some of us, our ears are pricking up at some of those descriptions, because if we're honest with ourselves, well, God feels distant this morning. And if that's you here today, well done on getting to church. These psalms are a word in season to you. These are words that will speak to your hearts directly today. And for others of us, maybe we're not there. Well, they're an inoculation for us for those times in the future when we will feel far from God for whatever reason. And these psalms are a great blessing because they say when that day comes, although we may be surprised by it, God isn't. He's not surprised that those day comes, and that's why he's given us these two psalms in the Bible, so that we can know what to do when we feel far from him. For the psalmist, his separation was a physical one. In verse 6, he says he's on Mount Mizar. And if you don't know your geography, which I didn't when I came to look at this, Mount Mizar is right at the top there of the map. It's miles and miles away from Jerusalem. And of course, in Old Testament times, Jerusalem was the place that you went to the temple to meet with God. The psalmist is physically distant, but this psalm, it's been preserved through the ages to help God's people whenever they feel distant, why ever they feel distant from God. Because God is so kind, he doesn't leave us on our own to figure things out when we're far from him. Now, in these psalms, he gives us words to say to God about our souls, and words to say to our soul about God. I don't know if you noticed, as Angus read, there's this sort of alternating pattern. It's a bit like a sorrowful pop song, Psalms 42 and 43. There are three verses, and then there's a chorus that keeps popping up, keeps getting repeated. And in the verses, he's speaking to God about his soul, and he says in the first verse at the beginning of Psalm 42, "I'm in a spiritual drought, God." And then in the second verse, towards the end of Psalm 42, he says, "I'm drowning spiritually, God." And then in Psalm 43, he fears he's going to be overwhelmed. Verse. And then the chorus comes, verse 5 of Psalm 42, verse 11, and then verse 5 of Psalm 43. And he speaks to himself. He says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." Three times through our sorrowful pop song, that chorus, spoken to himself, comes up. Well, we're going to start at the beginning. We're going to work our way through, beginning with that spiritual drought of the first four verses of Psalm 42. Let me read verse 1 again. The psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God." The psalmist, he pictures himself as a deer in the desert, not a drop to drink. He's got a desperate, a dry-mouthed thirst, a deep need for water. And he says to God, "This is what I feel like spiritually. I can't get through this on my own. I'm not a spiritual camel. I'm not able to look after myself in the spiritual desert that I'm in. I need your help in this desolate place. I need refreshing. I need you." He cries out to God. He's desperate in verse 2. "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" He longs for his spiritual drought to be over, to be out of this desert, to taste refreshing spiritual water. But there's only one place that water's coming from for the psalmist. Verse 3, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' amidst the taunts of the people around him. The psalmist's tears are all he has to quench his thirst. His heart is overwhelmed by sadness as people mock him, as they say, "Where is your God in the midst of all this pain you're going through? He doesn't seem to be coming through for you at the moment. Where is he as you despair? Where is he as you struggle with life in this world, with illness, with redundancy, with the breakup you're going through? He doesn't seem to be helping you very much." And tears stream down the psalmist's face. He longs that the spiritual drought would end, and he casts his mind back to a time when things were so, so different. Verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." He casts his mind back, and things used to be so different. In the title to the psalm that Angus read out for us, we saw that the psalmist, he was one of the sons of Korah. And they were the musicians at the temple in Jerusalem. So the psalmist, he would have been one of the guys up the front here, helping people sing praises to God. The God from whom he now feels so distant. He casts his mind back, and he knows that God can refresh him, can satisfy him. He's experienced that before. And yet that nostalgia he has, well, it doesn't really help him. See, God still feels distant. The spiritual drought shows no signs of ending. So we come to the first chorus of our sorrowful pop song. "Why, my soul," he says to himself, "are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." He says to himself, "How have I got here? Why are my spirits so low? Why am I experiencing such inner turmoil?" He looks into himself, but then he tells himself, "No, look away from me." In the very next breath, he says, "Look to God. Look to God and how he sees the world, how he sees the situation that you're in the midst of your spiritual desert." Do you see what he says to himself? God is a saviour. In fact, more than that, he says, God is my saviour. He speaks to God about his soul, and then he speaks to his soul about God. And we'll dig in a bit more to what he has to say as we keep going. But the pattern of the psalmist's speech, it asks some questions of us about how we respond when we find ourselves in similar situations to him. First, it asks us, are we as honest with God as the psalmist is? Dare we speak to God like he does? Because my guess is his prayers are a lot bolder than our prayers, a lot more honest than we tend to be when God feels far from us. I wonder if you've ever spoken to God like this, as the psalmist does. And if you think, actually, I don't talk to God like that when he feels far from me, it's worth asking why we don't do that. Maybe it's because we think God couldn't take it. He wouldn't like us speaking to him like that. Or maybe we think, well, he'd lose interest in us if we were this honest, if we let down our spiritual front. Maybe we're worried about ourselves and we don't want to admit that we're like this needy, this desperate for him. Well, whatever our reason is, this psalm, it plays us on side. It allows us to be honest with God when we feel far from him. Just tell God how you really feel. He's big enough to hear that. Are we as honest with God as the psalmist is? And then secondly, are we as honest with ourselves as the psalmist is? Are we honest enough to tell ourselves, no, you need God to help you in your life. You need God to get you through the spiritual desert that we'll find ourselves in from time to time. You're not a spiritual camel. The psalmist knows that he isn't self-sufficient in the wilderness. He needs God to refresh his soul. And again, if you think, oh, I'm not sure I could say that, well, the psalm, it plays you on side. It gives you permission to be honest with yourself, to do away with whatever spiritual pretense you hold on to, and to do as the psalmist does, and to say, put your hope in God. But despite the psalmist's honesty, honesty with God and honesty with himself, he's not out of the woods yet. And my guess is if you've been through a similar despair to the psalmist, that won't be a surprise to you. These things can go on and on and on. And no matter how hard you try to get out of them, you can tend to stay there for the while. And he moves from verse 1 of our spiritual, our sorrowful pop song saying, I'm in a spiritual drought, to in verse 2 saying, I'm drowning spiritually. And again, if you've experienced a time like this, you'll know that the mixing of those metaphors, it's sort of completely understandable how in one moment you can feel like you're in a spiritual desert and in the very next feel like you're drowning spiritually. You see, when God feels distance, your feelings, they don't necessarily make sense. Is how he describes it in verse 6 and 7. Speaking to God again, he says, my soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. He says, I'm drowning spiritually. And the Jews, they weren't a seafaring nation. The sea was a terrifying place for them. There would be no happy memories of summer holidays paddling in the shallows or bodyboarding in the breakers for Jewish children as they grew up. They wouldn't sing anything like Rule Britannia at the equivalent of their last night of the proms. They feared the sea. And so here we have real fear. As he says, it's like I've been picked up from my spiritual desert and I've been thrown over the spiritual equivalent of Niagara Falls. And I can't swim and the water's splashing all around me. And I just can't cope. I can't cope. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. As the psalmist is flailing around at the bottom of the waterfall, do you see who he says is responsible for all this? This is all God's doing. It's his waterfall, his waves, his breakers. God is responsible for his spiritual state, which is both the worst part of it, but also the best. The psalmist, he's drowning spiritually, not because God has lost control, but because God is in control. And we see for the psalmist, that's at the same time comforting and confusing. Because God is behind this spiritual drowning he's experiencing, he can say, verse 8, he can say, by day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Knowing God is in control, he finds a degree of comfort in that. He cannot understand what's going on, but he says to himself, this is part of God's loving plan for me. He finds comfort in God being in control. But he's also confused because God has allowed this to happen. And so we read verse 9, I said to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony and as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? He's confused. He's in agony. He's being taunted by his foes. It feels like God has abandoned him. And so as we come to the second chorus in our sorrowful pop song, it feels a bit like one step forward but two steps back. Because in verse 8, the psalmist, he's recognized that God is somehow in this, that perhaps he's not as far from him as he first thought. But there's still the confusion, there's still the uncertainty. But actually, there's another small encouraging sign in how the psalmist speaks to God in these verses. Imagine you're floundering at the bottom of Niagara Falls. What is it you most need in that moment? Well, it's obvious, isn't it? You need something firm that you can hold on to. And what did the psalmist call God in verse 9? He spoke to God, his rock. Just what he needs when he's floundering spiritually. Verse 9, it's a bit like he's accusing God. He's boldly saying, God, I know that you are my rock, but frankly, it doesn't feel like that at the moment. I'm feeling pretty let down right now. So please would you be what you said you would be. Please would you turn up for me in this moment that my foes can't keep asking where you are. And then when he says to himself in verse 11, put your hope in God. You can bet as he's saying that to himself. God is your rock, trust in him. God is your rock, trust in him as you feel like you're drowning spiritually. Once again, God is so kind in giving us this psalm. He shows us how we're to respond when he's feeling distant. The psalm, it gives us permission to ask God to be who he has said he will be. And it encourages us to tell our own souls to trust in him, to trust that he would be that thing. And so when it feels perhaps like your prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, maybe you could ask God to come through on the promise of 1 Peter 3, some words coming up on the screen. Peter writes, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. You can say to God, God, you have said that you'll hear me. So please hear me. And then you can say to yourself, would I trust in him? Trust that he would be what he said he'll be. Or perhaps you feel like you're going to be overcome by the challenges of this world. Well, if that's your situation, you can ask God to come through on the promise of Romans 8. He says this, if God is for us, who can be against us? Gives us permission to say to God, don't let me be overcome. I believe that you are for me. Please be for me. And then when you've prayed that to God, you can say to yourself, no one can be against me. If he is with me, trust in him. Put your hope in him. psalm, it teaches us what to do when it feels like we're drowning spiritually. It says, ask God to be what he said he'll be, and then tell yourself to put your hope in him. Then we come to Psalm 43, the third verse in our sorrowful pop song. And the psalmist pleads with God not to let him be overwhelmed. Have a look at verse 1 of Psalm 43. The psalmist writes, vindicate me, my God, and plead my cause against an unfaithful nation. Rescue me from those who are deceitful and wicked. You are God, my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? The psalmist is still fearful, still concerned that he'll be overwhelmed. There's still the threat of the deceitful and the wicked on the horizon. He still doesn't feel like he's enjoying God's protection as his stronghold or his favor. He still feels rejected by God. But as we read on, there seems to be a light glimmering at the end of the tunnel. Have a look at verse 3. Send me your light and your faithful care. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. The psalmist, he can see a future, a time when he'll be back in God's presence, a future in which God will no longer be distant from him. He's not there yet, but he can see that he might get there. And so in this verse of our pop song, he's still doing the same things that he was doing in the first two verses. He's still honest with God about his soul and honest with his soul about God. He's still asking God to be what he said he'll be, to be his stronghold as he feels the threat of those around him. And he's still telling himself to trust that God would be that. But he's edging closer. It feels like God is no longer so distant that his journey will not go on forever. So when we get to the chorus in verse 5, he still acknowledges how he feels, his experience. He still says to himself, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why are you so disturbed within me? He still says that, but it feels like the emphasis has shifted slightly to the hopeful faith of the second half, where he says, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. It feels like he believes that more than when he started. He's getting closer. God no longer feels so distant. And one of the things that have helped the psalmist on his journey back towards God is this repetition that we've seen, this pattern of speaking to God about his soul and speaking to his soul about God. That repeated request, asking God to be who he will be and telling his soul to put his hope, his trust in him. And the same thing, it can help us too when God feels distant. Sometimes it can be really helpful to keep reminding yourself about the same truth of God. I've gone through seasons in my life where my daily time in the Bible and praying has just been simply reminding myself of a truth about God, rereading a verse over and over again that I felt that actually I've stopped believing, or I've drifted away from, and just saying, God, this is what you say you'll be like. Help me to trust you has been enormously helpful for me in my own walk with God. Well, when you're struggling in your prayer life, I don't know, again, this is something that I run across from time to time, it can be really helpful to pray until you pray. To go through the motions, if I can put it like that, to make yourself, I don't know, pray through a list of people or things going on in your life. Until you really start to pray, until you really start to pour your heart out to God. Maybe for those times when there's a disconnect between your head and your heart as you sing, well, keep on singing. That's one of the reasons we often stick a few songs together at the start of our service here on a Sunday, to help us move from whatever's going on in the busyness of life, to really help our hearts connect with what we're saying about God, to engage ourselves. So it's really great to be here on time, to be able to make the most of those things as we start our time together in song. Again, if there are times when the Bible feels like a closed book to you, reading until you hear God speak is a great thing to do. Open a gospel, open one of the accounts of Jesus' life, and just read about him. See his love, see his compassion, see his power. Allow your heart to be drawn to him. Because actually, he's the only one who can do any of this for us, ultimately. He's the only one who can bring us close to God, as we were singing about just a moment ago. He's the one who is our rock, our stronghold, the one who can help us sing with shouts of joy and praise. Because he, the one who has perfectly enjoyed God's presence from before time began, came to earth to be cast from that presence on the cross. You see, he was made distant from God, that we who should be distant could be drawn near. And so when we feel far from God, when we say to ourselves, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" A wonderful thing to do, to cast our mind back to the cross, to say to ourselves, put your hope in Jesus, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. We're going to take a moment to reflect on what we've heard God saying to us this morning through these two psalms. A chance maybe to draw near to him in prayer, and then I'll draw us back together and lead us in a prayer together. But first, a few moments of silence. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can know your protection as the mighty one. We can know your stability as our rock. We can know your strength as our stronghold. Father, please, we pray, when we feel far from you, when we feel like we're in a spiritual desert or we're drowning spiritually, when we fear we might be overwhelmed, please, we pray, would you help us to do what the psalmist does here? Help us to speak to you honestly about our souls, and help us to speak truthfully to our souls about you. And please, we pray, might our experience be that of the psalmist. As we do those things, might we feel ourselves being drawn closer and closer to you. And we ask this through the name of the one whom we hope, through Jesus, our Saviour and our God. Amen.